Morning Zen Podcast listeners, welcome to episode 22. This is Michelle Mascali, senior editor of PharmEzec magazine.
Hey guys, this is Kristen Harm, associate editor of PharmEzec magazine.
PharmEzec is a multimedia publishing brand that brings you the latest commercial insights for the C-suite. Kristen, what are we talking about in today's episode?
Today we have Nicola Kale, vice president of marketing at Salix Pharmaceuticals, on with us.
We originally had her on the podcast to talk about the challenges of marketing products that address quote-unquote embarrassing problems. But as you'll hear, we shifted gears a bit abruptly when she shared with us how her team is using virtual reality with doctors.
Let's take a quick break before we speak with her.
Are you on LinkedIn? If so, you should join the Pharmaceutical Executive Group and connect with over 16,000 of your pharma and biotech colleagues in everyday discussions about the industry. Just search Pharmaceutical Executive on your LinkedIn group page and request to be added.
Hello, podcasters. Today we're speaking with Nicola Kale, Vice President of Marketing at Salix Pharmaceuticals. Welcome to the PharmExec podcast, Nicola.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're happy to have you today. Can you start us off by briefly telling us a little bit about Salix Pharmaceuticals and your role at the company?
Sure, I would love to. And I think that's a great question just to kick off the whole interview, because as we move into 2019, it's going to be a very exciting year for Salix. We're actually celebrating our 30th anniversary, and so we have some plans in place to have a lot of exciting initiatives throughout the year to celebrate our success. So let me tell you a little bit about who we are as a company. Salix is a company committed to the treatment of GI or gastrointestinal disorders, and we have a mission that we believe there's no finish line in terms of improving solutions for patients and also providers who treat GI disorders. And so we are committed to constant innovation in order to address unmet needs that are out there for both healthcare providers and also patients in the pursuit of an overall better GI experience. The company Salix is actually headquartered in Bridgewater, New Jersey. I've been with the company for just over 3 years, and my current role is Vice President of Marketing.
One of the reasons we wanted to have you on was because of the type of products your company makes, which are solutions for what could be considered embarrassing medical issues. I imagine a commercial about IBS while people are eating dinner, not exactly something most people want to see or talk about. Or it's not like an allergy pill where someone brags what a great job it's doing to their friends. So what type of challenges does a product like this pose in relation to marketing?
Well, I can tell you one thing, Michelle. It doesn't set you up for a good conversation over Thanksgiving, as you mentioned. But, the products that we have within our portfolio, they treat conditions like IBS-D, which is irritable bowel syndrome with diarrhea. We also have another product that treats opioid-induced constipation. And so when you think about marketing those to consumers, it does pose a unique challenge in terms of consumer activation. We do a lot of consumer research, and we find that people who have these conditions, they eventually just resign themselves to living with them and trying to manage them as best they can on a daily basis themselves. They get to a point where they really feel that there's just no solution for them. They've tried and they've failed so many over-the-counter options, sometimes other prescription options, and they become quite a challenge because they become resigned in a sense to the fact that there's no solution out there, and this is just what their life's going to be moving forward, and they just have to deal with it. And so when it comes to marketing to that type of consumer who has resigned to accept the situation, it is pretty challenging.
So of all the products that you have, which one would you say is the most challenging, and how did you and your team work through that?
Yeah, you know what? We have quite a lot of products in our portfolio, Kristen, but there's one that, when you talk about challenge, kind of rises to the top of the pack in terms of priorities. And it's a product that we have that treats a condition called hepatic encephalopathy. It's a very serious condition. It's associated with the complication of cirrhosis, and it also comes with a very high mortality rate. And so from, you know, an emotional perspective, that really rises to the pack in terms of an urgent challenge for us to solve. We address that in several ways from a healthcare perspective, a healthcare professional perspective. These patients often have repeat hospital visits, and that adds up to a significant economic burden on the healthcare system. And in order to address that, we really have to try to get in front of and educate a wide range of stakeholders. And that becomes a challenge when you're trying to navigate through the institution from, you know, the C-suite to hepatology to gastroenterology to hospitalists who are working on the floor, and then ultimately down to the people in the ER who are admitting the patients. So that's a challenge from an HCP, healthcare professional education. From the patient perspective, there's a challenge as well, because once patients experience an episode, then they get better and they feel much better. And so it's very important for us as a team to focus our efforts on constant disease state education. We need to ensure that that patient's adherent to treatment, and that involves us becoming very innovative and thinking through ways how to enhance patient compliance. We've done that recently through initiatives such as texting. And then the third element in terms of the challenge in treating this condition is that there's a caregiver aspect as well, which doesn't often come with a lot of brands that you have to market. We've discovered that they're also a very important target audience for us, and that ensuring that we have their support and their involvement is key to that compliance and early intervention that I also talked about.
So can you give examples of how you've done that? You talked a little bit about the texting. Can you kind of go a little bit more in depth and give an example?
Yeah, as I said, you know, this condition, the patients have an episode. It's a neurological, you know, event in their life. When they go on treatment, they feel better. And so they often think that they don't have to take their medication anymore. Once you have this condition, it doesn't go away. It never resolves itself. And to keep yourself, you know, in the best state possible, you need to stay on your treatment option, whatever your physician has decided. And so we find that by texting these patients on a daily basis, it just continuously reminds them to take the right steps to look after themselves as best possible. We also text the caregiver, because again, we find that they're critical, because they often notice the early signs and symptoms when that patient has stopped taking their medication and is able to, you know, intervene and correct the situation.
Is that something that they have to opt into, or is that kind of automatic? How does that happen?
The initiative that we have in place, that they can opt in, both the patient and the caregiver.
That's really interesting. Would you say that most of the patients and the caregivers opt in, or is it so early in the kind? And how long have you been all? First of all, I guess I should step back. How long have you been offering the texting?
So this is a program we introduced Q1 of this year. And again, yes, if we can, you know, provide the education through our physician offices directly to patients, we do find that they are highly motivated to participate in this resource, and they do enjoy the kind of constant reminders. And it's also an ability for them to feel connected to somebody or, you know, some way that also cares about their condition and their best health.
One of our earlier podcasts, we had a CEO whose company was developing eye products, specifically dry eye. And we talked a little bit about how, like, dry eye is not as, you know, quote-unquote sexy as something like gene editing or curing cancer, at least on the surface. Gene eye issues kind of fall into that same situation. So how do you stand out when you're not getting those big headlines like that?
Well, again, I do agree with you. GI is not sexy. So let me talk you through irritable bowel syndrome with diarrhea, for example, with this one. I didn't know if you're aware of the prevalence of this in the U.S., but we actually have stats that up to 16 million Americans suffer with IBS-D here in the U.S. And the more interesting statistic is that many of them are undiagnosed and actually untreated. Because, as I'm sure you can imagine, this is a topic that many people don't want to talk about in terms of their bowel habits. So, as I mentioned earlier, they just choose to, you know, really suffer alone and in silence. So, to educate and empower these patients, we have remain pretty dedicated to thinking about different ways to be innovative and to stand out. So let me talk to you about two of those. One we introduced this year was virtual reality, and that was an opportunity to educate doctors about irritable bowel syndrome in terms of taking them through a three-dimensional tour of the human digestive system. The second way we tried to kind of draw attention to this condition was using body art. And we felt that that was, you know, a different way to draw attention to somewhat of an embarrassing topic by painting the symptoms of having IBS-D on body models. So our overall goal by really, investing in tactics like this was just to get everybody thinking about the condition differently by putting them in a situation where we were able to evoke, you know, a very emotional and memorable experience.
I actually want to talk about, we were going to talk about this a little later on the podcast, but I'm going to kind of talk about it now. I think using virtual reality is so interesting. Tell me about whose idea was it to use the VR with the doctors? Were there any internal concerns about it or pushback for using something that's very trendy like this, but not completely, I would say, accepted in this? I mean, VR is a little bit different for something in medical marketing or pharmaceutical marketing. Tell me about that. I think it's so interesting.
So the idea actually came from one of our key opinion leaders during a discussion that we were having at an ad board. The discussion topic was, you know, how do we really invest in the best education? And by that, we meant, like, how can we make it more effective? If we're going to put dollars into education, how can we make sure it's a rewarding experience for that healthcare provider? And so they were the ones that proposed virtual reality. You're right. Initially, it was like, okay, how can we actually execute on this? Because as I'm sure you're both aware, this is a very highly regulated industry. And so we did somewhat have an internal learning curve to get our teams comfortable and really training our sales team and allowing them to use a virtual reality device and a headset to be able to educate their healthcare providers. But we got there, and the feedback was that it really allowed for a more engaging experience with that healthcare professional by giving them something tangible and also something memorable by making just the experience different for them.
So tell me a little bit about the feedback that you got from your salespeople and then from the actual doctors with using the VR.
So I'll take the doctors first. I mean, they thought it was pretty cool. They're used to seeing a sales professional. Yeah, they're used to seeing a sales professional come into their office with, you know, an iPad or, a hard copy detailed, and they want to run as fast as they can to get away. But when we walked in with the virtual reality headsets, they were like, what is that? Can I try that? Can I touch it? Can I put it on? And so it allowed us to get much more time with our healthcare providers and, again, have an experience where they were fully engaged. And their feedback was, you know, it was worth the time to take. To out of their busy day to take a couple of minutes to put on the headset, because the information that they gained out of it was very educational and very informative.
What was the hardest part about training the sales team using the VR?
You're probably going to laugh at this, but it was actually keeping the device charged. It's something simple, but that was our biggest logistical nightmare.
That makes total sense. As someone who goes to a lot of conferences and is always tweeting and taking video and using my phone, I completely understand that.
VR is still in its infancy when it comes to how marketers are using it, especially in a space like pharma. So how do you see it evolving over the next few years?
You know, I think we're going to see a lot of evolution with technology of all sorts, you know, in particular VR. Because as you think about, like, how people learn, and our goal is to educate, the more senses you involve, the better that educational experience is. So I think there will be a lot more investment into this area in the future and much more evolution. And the feedback from our sales force was like, well, what's next? This is cool, but we want more. And, in fact, we've already evolved our interaction, and we're now utilizing a concept called augmented reality.
So talk a little bit about that augmented reality then. You think that's going to kind of be the next step?
That was the next step we decided to go in, and really what that does is, again, allow us to have another very interactive experience. This one we do utilize off the rep's iPad, but it, again, has provided us with a platform where we can really grab the physician's attention, get some extra minutes of time within their busy day, and really be able to educate them within a very interactive manner.
There are so many of these new tools out there for marketers right now like yourself. VR, social media, Snapchat, Facebook, LinkedIn. How do marketers like yourself sift through all of that noise and find out what really works best for their brand?
Well, to be honest, Snapchat's not my thing, so that one I shift through right away. But I think you're right. There's like a lot of tools. And when you're thinking about, you know, where do you invest your dollars and how do you prioritize your time in a sense, I kind of am a pretty disciplined person, and so I always go back to, like, what's the definition of marketing? What are we trying to do? And the definition is it's the activity and the process to create, communicate, deliver, and provide an offering that really has value for your customers. And so ultimately, I think it goes back to, do you really understand your target audience? And if you're going to invest in a tool, is it the right tool? Because is it something that is relevant to your target audience? And particularly when you think about consumers, you know, it's important to know, where do they go to seek information? You know, what resources or sources do they really trust? And then when it comes to the type or the content, like, what is the type of information or data that a consumer is going to act on? And so I think if you really understand your consumer, then you understand what are the right tools to get in front of your consumer.
As we wrap up the podcast, what advice do you have for other people in your position who want to try VR, want to try these kind of new marketing tools? How do you get buy-in from your fellow C-suite executives and other people in the company?
So I think the buy-in goes back to that, you know, mission that we have set for Salix in terms of, you know, we're going to be a company where there is no finish line in terms of improving the solutions that we bring for providers and for patients. And so to deliver on that mission, you have to create an environment that instills innovation. And so my advice to other leaders in the situation where you're running a team and trying to stimulate innovation is really to create a culture that encourages that, embraces innovative ideas, is prepared to kind of reward out-of-the-box thinking. I think in pharma, it's all too easy to pick up the same playbook every year and to try to run with it. And I think to be more successful in the future, we have got to encourage as much innovation as possible within the teams that we run.
I really love that, reward innovative thinking. I really like that philosophy.
Thank you so much for coming on with us today, Nicola. We really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And now it's time for this week's leadership tip from Pharma Execs.
My name is Nicola Kale. I'm Vice President of Marketing for Salix Pharmaceuticals. And my leadership tip is always try to create a culture that really stimulates and rewards innovation.
Thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed this week's Pharm Exec podcast. We are always pleased to take you behind the headlines, provide expert tips from industry leaders, and give you an inside look at what the Pharm Exec staff is working on.
Remember that you can always find us on the web at pharmexec.com, on Twitter at pharmexec, or on Instagram at pharmexecutive, and on YouTube.
The views expressed on this podcast do not reflect the views of PharmExec, its parent company, or our advertisers. For editorial questions, please email editorial director lisa.henderson@ubm.com. And for sponsorship opportunities, please email group publisher Todd Baker at todd.baker@ubm.com.